Donald in the Kitchen talks about food. Donald in the Kitchen talks recipes. Donald in the Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donald in the Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal, and usually you would hear Donna Prisgintis saying, my name is Donna Prisgintis, but Donna Prisgintis is under the weather this week, and so it's just me. But do not worry, we've got a great guest coming up. All kinds of good things on this radio station. The Donald in the Kitchen gets together here once a week in the heart of Iowa, in the heart of Ames, Iowa, and we talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions around our kitchen table. And we get by with a little help from our friends, including... The Donald in the Kitchen Show is sponsored in part by the Mucky Duck Pub, where pub means community. For more information, go to themuckyduckpub.com or call the pub and ask for Marcus. Ah, yes. You can find out lots more about KHOI, this fine radio station, at khoifm.org. I want to mention a little snafu we have been dealing with here at KHOI. We are in a old dry cleaners building here. It's a historic building. It's a great building. And outside of that building is a store that says, is a sign that says Ames Pantorium. Now, I don't know if any other place has a Pantorium, but that was the old dry cleaner sign, and we're glad to have it because what other radio station says Ames Pantorium outside of us? Also, another, like I said, this little snafu here. This is a great building. However, currently, when you go in our front door, you cannot go out of our front door. We have a little problem with the lock. So for weeks, it seems like months, but I think it's just been like 2 weeks, we've been going in the front door, and yes, there's a sign that says, no, you have to go out the back door. And so I don't know how many times I've gone in and then gone and tried to get out the front. So I bring that up because that's just one of those things that your donation could help us fix. We need your support here. Become a member of this fine radio station, and we'll talk more about memberships farther along on this radio station. So we've got this. What is it? There's that. What is that song where you can go in but you can't get out? It's something or other. Cynthia.
Hotel California.
Oh, so we have Hotel Ames here. We can go in, but we can't come out. Eventually, we'll get the door fixed, and it will be a lot better for everybody.
It should be fixed this week. I talked to Ames Lock and Security, and they should be sometimes this week. But I do have a funny story about that. Cory Booker came into to the station, and I said, sir, you can't go out the front door. And he looked at me, and he goes, what? I go, you got to go out the back door. And it was like, no, it wasn't a racial profiling thing. It's just the door, the lock in the front is not fixable. And there were a lot of jokes said, and he was very gracious about it. And yeah, and then he went around and did his, walk through Ames and met over with wonderful people over that there at Torrent Brewery where he had a meeting. But we've had to tell more than a few politicians that have come in to talk with Hal Caliburton and other nice individuals that, you have to go out the back door at KHOI right now. And it's a beautiful brass lock that is about 100 years old or plus. And I know my warranty's up, but, you know, that lock needed to be fixed. And thanks to Ames Lock and Security for when they get around to putting it back in. So there you go.
All right. Like I said, we'll talk a little bit about this fine radio station later in the show and how you can become involved to help us out. But as usual, here we are at the kitchen table, and we're going to talk about food. Joining me today at the kitchen table is Aaron Johnson from Joy Grow Mushrooms. Welcome to our table, Aaron.
Hey, guys.
What do you do, and how did you get started?
I started a business named Joy Grow about 4 years ago, really just working to creating really high-quality products and ingredients that you have to do less to just because they're that darn good. They're local, they're fresh, and something I'm passionate about. So,
I ran into you at Ames Farmers Market, and I, I, been around a mushroom or two, but my goodness, you just don't grow those little ones that look like they should have elves sitting on top of them. No, you have all kinds, and you have broadened my horizons. How did you get interested in mushrooms?
Well, first, let me interrupt. I wanted to say hi to my beautiful wife, and thank you for putting up with me. didn't want to forget that. I got into this just because I wanted to create something that was unique and not everybody had, you know. There's a lot of overlap at market. And so I'm just looking for really high-quality ingredients that I love myself. And I don't grow anything that I don't like myself. So that's why I'm switching things around. I'm trying to grow seasonal things. And I use mushrooms as a base of flavor. All sorts of dishes in smaller amounts, and obviously they can be the star in many dishes, and I would love to go over those.
Oh, good.
Just a few simple ideas.
Yeah, because you have mushrooms in all shapes and colors, and actually, back to when you're vending, your mushrooms grow not in – well, you don't have a field of mushrooms. You have a special magic room of mushrooms?
Yes, a magic room, if you would like to call it that.
I would.
A fruiting chamber is what we'd call that. It's just a place that we have ideal conditions. So, again, I control the temperature, humidity, lighting, and air exchange. And so I can grow year-round. And that's something that I do. So,
how long have you been doing this?
This I started in late 2005. Or 15,
2015,
my goodness.
2015, yes.
And so going on, like you said, 4 years. Been very fortunate to have this community that I don't live in currently. I live in Boone, but we are real close. Farms just outside of Ogden. And then, like I said, Ames is a really nice community, and that's where I sell the majority of my mushrooms.
Well, that's what I bet you there's lots of people here that would like your mushrooms, and they do. They do. What have – before you get into your – you got some really good recipe ideas. Can't wait to hear them. What have you learned? You've been doing this for a few years. Were there any hurdles, heaven forbid?
Oh, gosh. Every day there's always hurdles. As a small business owner, and anybody knows that, I mean, from the – not just the knowledge just to get started, you know, those first initial capital investments, but also – just time, putting in the time. Not everybody can just pick this stuff up, you know, in one day. And so there's a lovely mushroom growing community that I'm a part of on the internet. And we really share a lot of knowledge. And there's some exciting stuff coming out, as always, because I get excited about the mushrooms.
Oh, good. So, oh, good. Good. Well, I'm kind of interested in what you've got. Mushrooms seem to the idea of mushroom taste. It's getting colder. It's getting winter time. I think mushroom taste would be just fine. What sort of recipes do you have for us?
Yeah, there again, mushrooms really can be used as a really nice base for any kind of dish, but also the obvious star when you're using larger chunks of them. Because I like to see what I eat. And this is a perfect opportunity to use, like, set an ingredient like this that can really shine with just a few other simple ingredients. So, I mean, it's Taco Tuesday. It's only appropriate to talk about tacos.
Tacos.
One that I really like to use, I grow a lot of oyster mushrooms. Mm. If you're not familiar with them, you can find them all over in town at restaurants and other places I'll get to later. Uh-huh. But I also... like to use piopini mushrooms and kings.
Piopini.
Yeah, they're kind of a goofy name on them. But anyway, there's different textures and flavors at play. So, and I like to mix it up if you're going to make an all mushroom taco. So for starters, saute down some mushrooms, of course, green peppers and some onions. And of course, you can also use a protein. But for just the family and I, we like to make some mushroom tacos because they're fun and they're really good. So where was I? Sauteing your veg, just some base veg, like some pepper and onions, and then the mushrooms, of course. I would like to crisp up corn or flour tortillas in the toaster oven or on top of the stove. And the veg in that mix I mentioned earlier, I like to season that with some cumin, salt and pepper, or coriander. But also, if you are familiar with them, Salt Liquors has some beautiful Herky Perky seasoning or Roxy Taco that both work very well. Fresh sour cream, of course, and top it with some cilantro, and you have a very lovely little taco. And I like to use a little small size fresh, you know, packs of not the really big ones.
Oh, very good. I want to back up and ask a little bit about
tortillas.
Now, when we buy mushrooms from you, and like I said, they come in different shapes and sizes, what does one have to do to a mushroom to get it ready to, besides cut it up, is mm-hmm. there like cleaning or blanching or?
No, that's a very good question. Mm-hmm. And I've had people rinse and wash my mushrooms.
Or
and
peel them? What?
No, no, no. I don't want to sell you a big, large portion of mushroom that you can't use. So most of my mushrooms are all trimmed up very well at time of harvest. But also I grow mushrooms like pyopini have very long stems, and you want to use the entire mushroom because it's all about the texture and it's all about that stem. So they have their different attributes. And that's where that contrast in the tacos between like an oyster, which is a little more tender, or king, and then pyopini. It's nice and a little play on texture.
Oh, good. So how much do you cook them, pan fry? Do you make them like crispy or just warm them up or make them soggy or?
For the tacos, I mean, it's whatever you prefer, but usually just nice soft saute, you know, kind of sweating them down. I mean, you can caramelize them too if you want. That's always nice. I have another recipe that would basically be another way to cook them down and get some really good flavor out of them.
Okay, so that was you got our taste buds going with thinking about tacos. Good idea. What's the second recipe?
Well, cream of mushroom soup, because everybody loves cream of mushroom soup. And, of course, you can have any kind of a variant on soups, so you can always play around with this. And in the kitchen, I find myself very rarely sticking to any recipe.
Good for you.
I like to cook with what is available, what's seasonal, what's fresh, and what's good, and, you know, what I don't have to go to the store and get. But you should always have mushrooms on hand. So I like to start again with a base of oyster mushrooms and any kind of mix of other things that you can get your hands on of my mushrooms. Again, like the other ones I had mentioned, the kings, just for that play on texture. But oyster mushrooms, if you want to make a cream mushroom soup, they're perfect.
Is that the classic or the
what
one usually goes to? Okay,
right. So we'll start down, sweat down, mirepoix. That's a simple or a fancy word for basically some base vegetables, carrots, celery, onions, green peppers, mushrooms, of course, and garlic. So with the mushrooms, I use a ridiculous amount, as much as you can get your hands on, honestly. And then as far as the carrots.
Okay, ridiculous. Handful? 2 cups? 4 cups?
4.
Okay, well, yeah, it's good.
But you can always use less. So anyway, as far as the carrots, celery, onion, like I'd use a small carrot, small piece of celery, onion, and then mince down finely. But I like to leave the mushrooms nice and whole. Decent pieces that you can define as a mushroom. You can also take some of them out, part of them out, and blend them if you want more of a creamy texture. We got our veg and mushrooms simmered down. And then after that, we'd add chicken stock or vegetable stock, water, beer, something like that.
Beer's good. Okay.
Yeah, build flavor. On top of that, some half and half for cream and a little bit of butter. Of course, you can substitute coconut milk also. Old Bay, some bay leaves, black pepper, a dash of soy, a dash of sesame oil.
I really
like that, just to build that rich umami flavor.
Uh-huh.
And then some sharp cheddar cheese. And there again, I won't give you any quantities per se on any of these.
So it's taste, okay.
Right. So you got the basic ingredients and just play with it.
Okay.
But lots of mushrooms always.
This cream of mushroom soup, do you use a a one of those emulsifying blenders to mush it all up?
Yeah. I mean, if I owned one, I would definitely use an immersion blender rather than put hot liquid into a blender that is super dangerous.
Okay.
So excited.
Kitchen is dangerous. Don't put hot liquid into a blender. Those immersion blenders are a really good idea, and you don't have to blend up the whole thing so it's like mush. You can
just kind of stick
her in every now and then. Mm-hmm. And then you got your creamy side, then you got your chunker side. Cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah. Or just good knife skills.
Good knife skills. Also, I've been kind of thinking of the holidays ahead here. And I was talking with a friend about, I'm supposed to break the green bean casserole. Oh, shoot, I don't really like the green bean casserole, but I'm supposed to bring it for the dinner. And that is a tradition, and that is a wonderful use for cream of mushroom soup or this sort of stuff on top of your green beans. And also, I've been running across recipes for those that have that same reaction. Oh, boy, the green bean casserole. Well, I sort of like the green bean casserole, but there's other things you can put that cream of mushroom soup in. You can make a kale casserole or a cauliflower casserole, anything that is warm and rich. And like you said, put some cheese on it. Now, those things are the kind of things you wrap up in your towel and you take to a Thanksgiving dinner, and people will be glad to have you. Very, very good.
I would like to stand up for green bean casserole here, though, because it is one of the better side dishes, if not the all time. And I get asked every year to bring green bean casserole because I do put mushrooms in a lot of fresh, hard-neck garlic in it. And yeah, that's where it's at.
See? That is good. Tradition is great, and we can always improve on tradition. Yeah, actually, my friend, I really don't like. She says, I make it every year, but then I realized she was making it with just, you know, a can of this and a can of. No. Back up a little bit, like you said, for some really good flavors. And the putting mushrooms with garlic. I like that, too. That's a really good combination. Do you grow garlic?
No, my parents do. Unfortunately, they hooked me up with a large box of garlic, and so I've been cooking with it almost every single day because it's wonderful.
Good. The only thing better than growing garlic yourself, you can always have somebody else grow it for you.
Yes.
It's good. It's good
you
stuff.
You get spoiled for the stuff from the store, though.
It is good stuff. And you have mushrooms on hand. Before we get into your next recipe, I would like to mention mushrooms on hand, not only at your Joy Grow stand that you were selling this summer. You sold mushrooms, all different kinds of colors and things, but you sold mushroom kits, which meant that people would have mushrooms on hand. How do those work? Mushroom kits?
Yes, there's for those a little bit more with inclined to do it yourself. I do sell kits, so basically come with full instructions, and I'm local, and these local sales are guaranteed because I want you to be successful. So, like I said, full instructions, an ear to bend. I've got all my contact info with the instructions.
Good.
So they're pretty simple.
Yeah,
I've taken a lot of work out of it.
It's like this thing, just add water?
No. Just basically make a little cut and keep it misted.
You do add water.
Yeah,
misted.
There's a few other little steps in there, but it's really pretty simple at that point.
Good. There's that nice romantic thing about being able to grow your own. Take that home and take that to your kitchen. That's a good idea. Okay, we've talked about tacos. We've talked about cream of mushroom soup, which can lead us to many different layers of different things you can do with that. What else do you have for us?
Yes, this one is super simple and can be used in any way that you would imagine. So a simple mushroom sauce or gravy. I really love these with oyster mushrooms or any of the mushrooms, again, that I grow and you can get your hands on. So start with mushrooms. Sweat them all down in some butter and olive oil. Finish with a few knobs of butter and a cup of water. That's, again, your volumes and things can change. But really, really simple. Salt and pepper to taste. Done. You can additionally add a little bit of cornstarch or flour just to make a gravy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But really just this simple mushroom sauce is delectable. From there, you can put this gravy sauce on any kind of protein, so beef, chicken, fish, pork, etc.
Turkey's coming up.
Turkeys, yes. Yeah, hey, mushroom gravy. There you go. You can add a dollop of sour cream and chives and put it on top of a baked potato.
It's
really nice. Over a poached egg or a fried egg on toast. Mm-hmm. Cream mushroom eggs on toast. That's something I grew up with. And
It doesn't look
great on a plate, but oh my goodness, I can eat some cream mushroom eggs on toast.
Okay.
Smothered on a bed of brown rice, red beans, something like that. Really simple. I really want to point out that you don't need to be intimidated by my mushrooms because they do look different than a button mushroom. That's what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it in any kind of savory recipe. If you can make toast or boil water, you can cook with mushrooms.
All right. That's true. Now, people have heaven knows people have opinions about mushrooms. Of course, people have opinions about a lot of things.
Sure.
I don't like mushrooms because mushrooms are not quite fish or fowl. I mean, they're not a plant and they're not an animal. They are a whole different thing. But we've learned to. What do you think about other things we eat? I mean, who would you think? Oh, I'm going to eat some cow today. You know, and people had to learn how to do that, or drink milk, or eat an egg, or eat broccoli. People had to figure out, but that was pretty darn good once you tasted it. So that's good. That's good. You sell I tried it this summer, first time I've ever tried it. It was a very red, sort of coral looking thing. What was that? Not very red. Pink.
Pink?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a young coral tooth. When they are immature, they can be a little pink. And when it comes
pinkish.
To market time, I'll pick everything. So as they mature, they lighten in color and whiten.
Okay. But yeah, they don't, like I said, they don't always come in those mushroom-like shapes. There's some mushrooms that you find in the woods. Can you grow things like chicken of the woods or pheasant back, or there's some things like that. Turkey of the
hen of the woods, I think is what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, amazingly enough, a lot of these organisms are saprophytic, meaning that they decompose dead or decaying plant matter.
Uh-huh.
And so that doesn't mean that they're necessarily easy to cultivate, though. So I would love to say that I could grow lots of hen of the woods or maitake. And when there's plenty of people who do, but I have yet to put in a whole lot of effort into them. They're a little bit more difficult, but
I bet there is a trick. So not all of the mushrooms that you grow are the kind you'd find in the woods. And at least around here.
Well, no. For the most part, most of the species and strains that I am growing are native to North America. In fact, pretty much all of them besides like a shiitake. A lot of them you can find those species in North America. And that's actually something I've been working on as a local wild oyster clone. And I'm really excited. After 4 years, I finally got a clone. And it's just now starting to fruit, so I'll be keeping you guys updated on my Facebook page.
Ooh, this is good. This is good. There are things in the future. We're talking to Aaron Johnson from Joy Grow Mushrooms. And we'll be back in a little while. I want to mention that this is KHOI, and this is Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
the Donalana Kitchen. I'm here around the table with Erin Johnson from Joy Girl Mushrooms. Donna, my co-host, is a little under the weather here, but we've been talking mushrooms. And I'm hungry. I don't know about everybody else, but that's good.
Always.
Erin, yeah. Erin, where can we get your mushroom? Where can we taste all of this good stuff?
Well, again, I have to thank the city of Ames for being such an awesome community and having these awesome little local restaurants. So I'd like to start by thanking you. Steve at Mod's making magnificent mushroom dishes. Devin at Provisions providing pleasing mushroom plates. Kevin at Workiva making employees that work there lucky, happy, and satisfied. Man, that's a good place to work. Brett at Barlatoska breaking mushroom brownies with breathtaking entrees in small plates. Matt at the West Street Deli whipping up savory Sammies. Brandon at Stomping Grounds simply killing it with sumptuous offerings. Mitch at Giangelo's gifting us with gorgeous Italian cuisine. Jeff at Wheatsfield undeniably winning when it comes to soups, quiches, and side dishes. And to all the wait staff that educate customers and push local mushrooms, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Keep on pushing. To all the produce managers grinding and always have a fresh product, and leading into that, where you can find my mushrooms if you aren't going out to eat and you want to make some of these delicious dishes that I mentioned. So we've got Farm to Folk, Wheatsfield Produce, where you can buy small packages, the North Ames Freeway, where you can buy small packages, the Boone Hy-Vee, where you can buy small packages. And then, of course, bulk. You can find them at the Central Ames Hy-Vee and the West Ames Hy-Vee.
You are busy. My goodness. You said you have a room to do mushrooms, but I bet you have, like, a very large room to provide all of these people with mushrooms. That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And give us your email or your website so we know how to contact you.
Yes, definitely. So I can be found at Joy Grow Mushrooms. That's JoyGrow. On Facebook, it's just at Joy Grow, all one word. You can also find me or contact and reach out to me at joygrowmushrooms@gmail.com. That is joygrowmushrooms@gmail.com.
Ah, thank you for being with us here in the kitchen. We've got all kinds of good ideas to use, and we can get these mushrooms. These are local mushrooms. These, eat local and eat these local mushrooms, because if we eat them, Erin will grow some more of them.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us today, Erin.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Good. I want to think about some upcoming food things here, and the holidays are coming up. I want to think about if you're bringing, well, you might be bringing green bean casserole, or you might be bringing the gravy or something, or you might be bringing a pie. Here are some thoughts on pie crust from Gary Guthrie. Gary Guthrie is a farmer, lives a little east and south of Ames. He has a farm called Growing Harmony Farm, and he loves making pies. He's even given some classes at the Wheatsfield Co-op, classes specifically called Pies for Guys. Yes, guys, you can cook too. So let's go to this interview with Gary Guthrie. You're a man who knows his way around a pie, and I've had really good pie from you. So tell me, do you have a secret for pie crust?
That you're willing to
oh, absolutely. I believe in sharing the wealth of pie. I don't care for pumpkin pie. It's evolved over time. It started out in Bolivia, actually, my pie baking. And when people came to visit, I promised them banana cream pie. And so in the span of 6 years in both Bolivia and El Salvador, I baked it. At least 300 pies during those 6 years. And my dad challenged me to keep track of my pies. So this last year, starting in the month of August, my birthday's in August, so I'm now at pie number 69. So I average one pie every 5.3 days, seems like.
69 pies just for this year.
Yeah. Mostly sweet, some savory.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're good.
I have found this last while I've been making just the very best pie crust. So it's if it's a two-crusted, you would double this. So, but it's 1 cup of flour, and I've actually been getting pastry flour from Wheatsfield because it is locally grown.
Oh, the
local
farm.
It is exceptional. It really makes for a very delicate, very delicate.
Early morning harvest pastry flour.
It is very good.
Mm-hmm. Very fresh.
So 1/3.
Tastes like real wheat.
Yep. 1/3 cup. And I'm sorry, I'm not a purist here, but I have found that the best oil or lard, whatever you want to call it, or shortening, is Crisco butter flavored, non-trans fat. I'm sorry, that's confessions here. I've tried to work with butter, and I guess maybe I need to continue working with it, but it always comes out stiffer.
Well, we're of the butter and lard persuasion. Mixed.
Okay. Well, so one of these times we'll have to have a little contest or tasting here.
What a hardship.
So 1/3. The ratio is 1/3.
To one.
To one. Mm-hmm. And ice.
1/3 flour.
One cup flour.
To 1/3.
1/3 lard or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm. Fat.
1/4 cup of ice water. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit of salt. And then a friend told me about this also for it helps extract the water out of it, makes it flakier, is I put a teaspoon of teaspoon to a tablespoon of powdered sugar in it.
Powdered sugar. Okay, new tip.
And so I
mix
that in, and then I put it in the refrigerator overnight.
Oh,
and
overnight.
It's at least an hour, and they talk about it. It relaxes the glutens in the flour. And ever since I've been doing that, I roll it out. It might be a little moist, but I roll it out on flour. And I prefer to use ceramic pie plates, and it seems like a nice even heat. And ever since I've been doing that for this past year, I have not had one single crust go bad on me. I mean, that it really was flaky, tasty, and light.
Ah, a little bit of something there to get you thinking about that holiday baking. I do like making pies. Everybody has their specialty, of course, and that was Gary Guthrie, actually from a past Don Alana show way back in the archives, and we drug him out to get our brains going about pie crust for the holidays. Thank you, Gary Guthrie, again. I want to take this opportunity to talk a little bit about supporting this station. I mentioned earlier that, well, one of the things we could use around here is a front door that opens both ways. And, that's kind of your basic thing. But we need help with lots of things to keep this on the air. It costs about $300 per day to run KHOI. And that is a really, really good deal because a lot of us are volunteers. And we make money go a long way around here. We squeeze blood out of turnips every single day, but we have costs. We have costs. Although the radio signal is free to listen to, that doesn't mean it's free to produce. We have money that needs to go to tower rental, connection to the tower, which is a circuitous process. We have to rent the building, pay for national programs. We do have a few paid staff that make sure that things stay on the air. There's insurance, there's phones, there's utilities, there's a website. Lots of things that we can use your help for. So, Cynthia, what do you have to say about people supporting this station?
Well, because we're a nonprofit, everything that you donate is tax deductible. And for that hard-to-find individual for the holiday season, you can give them a gift of membership to KHOI. Go to khoifm.org, click on the donate button, and guess what? It is tax-deductible. I'm not going to tell anybody that you did that, but, you know, it's a double gift. And it keeps the radio going and wonderful programs like the Donna Lana Kitchen.
I think so, too. All right. Oh, another thing about those gifts for the holiday. Give the people that you really love a membership to KHOI. It's only $60 a year or more if you'd like. Or give somebody one of those memberships to somebody you don't really like a lot. Won't they be surprised to get that in the mail? They will be so surprised to be supporting something that is wonderful. Community radio. Oh, yes, it is. Please donate today by going to khoifm.org and become a basic member of $60. Or you can go for $100 for a household membership. Or write down a number at random and put lots of zeros behind it and send that to. Or call 515-292-2878. We appreciate everything that we get. And think of volunteering here, too. We're a fun bunch of people. Oh, speaking of fun bunch of people, there is a concert, many times it happens here, this evening, the Pantorium Sessions. Cynthia, what's going on this evening?
What is the band again? It is...
Oh, Stranger than Fiction.
Oh, I
thought it was Strangers in Paradise. No, Stranger than Fiction.
Yeah, yes. they're an excellent band. They bring in a lot of crowds, but it also is going to be something that we're going to offer food for. I'm making some chili and going to bring in wonderful food, and Pat Schlarbaum is going to bring in pies. So, it's an environment where we welcome people. And we welcome your company, and it's, we just try to create a wonderful community here in Central Iowa. And you are welcome to come. The location is 410 Douglas, Ames, Iowa. You can contact us if you have questions at 515-292-2878. There will be live music. This is a free event open to the public. You do not have to be a member. We will not hawk membership to you. But if you feel like you belong here and you have the funds to be a member, then, please consider it. But otherwise, we are a welcoming community. And this is kind of like, I've said it before in the past, this is like that bar in Star Wars where people in the universe come together, some shady people, these cooks that, buy local and organic, they're doing non-corporate things. So, these are an interesting group of people, very talented and very intelligent. And
Thank you. Yes, we are, doggone it.
And it's interesting. I've learned a lot while being here and a lot more about my local community than I ever knew possible. And a lot of very talented people. And you're welcome to come and find out about us this evening at 410 Douglas, Ames, Iowa. Contact us again at 515-292-2878 or go to our website, khoifm.org. We do have a donate button, but we also have archives of the Donna Lana Kitchen and many other programs. And I hope you just become a part of this wonderful menagerie of people. And it is a good tribe. So
we are a good tribe. This is KHOI, and this is Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa, and you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're going to take a little music break here, and I have in the past dragged this tune out for fundraisers in the past. It is one of those tunes that is credited to traditional. It's been around. It's an English country dance tune called Money in Both Pockets. Thank you. Welcome back. That tune was called Money in Both Pockets. A fine thought, and so many of us have money in both pockets. It may be weighing you down a little bit out there, so kind of dig down and think of sending a little bit to support this fine radio station. I have a few thoughts on the food supply and thoughts on the local food supply. There's an organization called Practical Farmers of Iowa, and they're kind of planning and organizing and advertising for their upcoming conference, which will happen in January. We'll talk about more about that later, but they said some of their information they send out, they help a lot of farmers with a lot of different things. And I got some of this information from their source of information. Here's a look at Iowa agriculture. In the last 55 years, the number of Iowa farms has decreased by 57%. 206,000 farms to just 89,000 farms. Why the acres farms had have been steady. Now, this is kind of a shocker here. And think of this as you go into the Thanksgiving season. Farmers' share of the consumer dollar is just $0.148. So that's not quite 15 cents of a consumer dollar goes to the farmer. Aha. Iowa exports 95% of its ag products and imports 85% of its food. Lots of things going back and forth there. From 2010 to 2018, 69 of Iowa's 99 counties declined in population. Most of the population went to metropolitan areas. Iowa used to be a leading national producer of oats, apples, potatoes, cherries, wheat, and more. And we all know what we are famous for now, corn, soybean, and hogs. And chickens are getting there, too. And Iowa's water quality is getting worse because of how we're farming those crops of corn and soybeans and hogs. And we've got to be careful. With no roots to bind up the nutrients, they wind up in Iowa's surface water and eventually in the Gulf of Mexico. Things to think about. Food just doesn't happen in the grocery store. There's a whole process of getting food there. I'd like to share another little thing here. There is a writer that I occasionally, I look for her stuff quite often. Her name is Margot Ford McMillan, and she writes columns for papers and columns for the internet, and I get a newspaper called The Progressive. And the Progressive Populist, actually. Margot Ford McMillan farms near Fulton, Missouri, and co-hosts a radio show called Farm and Fiddle on KOPN 89.5 in Columbia, Missouri. She's also written some books. Her latest book is The Golden Lane, How Missouri Women Gained the Vote and Changed History. Here's some thoughts that she has about Thanksgiving. This is the holiday of gratitude, grandparents, and gluttony. She recommends finding local things to eat, locally raised turkey, local food, local potatoes, local sweet potatoes, and those pies, local greens. She says, Americans will fight inactivity with every last cent. Christmas spending now stretches from October 31st to December 25th. While fewer Americans go to church, religious-ish celebrations get more public attention and energy than ever because they have morphed into commercial bonanzas. Halloween. Yes, the roots are pagan, but that's sort of a religious-ish sort of thing. That has turned into quite a spending spree. It is estimated that $8.8 billion was spent on Halloween decorations, costumes, and candy. Get this, 29 million of us dress our pets for Halloween. Come on, folks, come on. We have to learn how to be thankful for these holidays of family and Thanksgiving by maybe not spending so darn much. My goodness, here, we can do things locally. we can take a stand for things that we care about. We can convert the weekend of Black Friday into Buy Nothing Day, the idea of spending, spending, spending the day after Thanksgiving. Try a Buy Nothing Day. And the next Saturday after that, celebrate that as Small Business Saturday. Stand up for our local values and stand up for communities. If you really want to make a point about what you believe, give a gift membership to your favorite independent media. And she suggests community radio stations are a good choice. There's a lot going on in the news, and a gift of information might be the most valuable gift of all. That was a few thoughts on Thanksgiving and thanks for caring from Margot Ford McMillan, a writer, a radio person from Columbia, Missouri. Very good, very good. I've got some upcoming things to talk about. There is a barn dance coming up this weekend, Central Iowa Barn Dance. I've been part of that group for a long time. There's people that get together. There's a live band. There's lively dancers. There is a lively caller. And it is community in motion, actually. We meet at the at 130 South Sheldon Avenue in Ames, Iowa. That is just one block south of the Dunkin' Donuts. You ought to know where Dunkin' Donuts is. That's right on Lincoln Way. Turn south on Sheldon. Look for this big building that sort of looks like a school, but it's not a school. And there will be a orange fiddling pig sign at the door. Our next dance is November 23rd. That's Saturday. We dance from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Contras and Squares. Everyone, welcome. For more information, there's a Facebook, Central Iowa Barn Dance Association. The band for that evening is the Mighty Barn Owl Band. Yes, it is. And it's a fun, fun time. Something else on November 23rd, Early Morning Harvest. A wonderful farm in Panora, Iowa, is having an open house, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's in Panora, Iowa. They have a flour mill there. They grind things that turn into wonderful food for us to eat, bread and cookies. Okay. And they have a greenhouse. They grow fish. Huh? Lots of things going on there. There's honey. There's a store there. For information, call Jeff Hafner at 641-757-2620 or email earlymorningharvest.com. There's going to be an indoor market of farmers market things here in Ames on December 7th. And that will be inside, so you don't have to get cold there. You can come and enjoy that. We'll have more information on that later. That's December 7th. Yes, it is. I want to mention more about supporting this radio station. There are people here doing wonderful things, and all these people make community radio. Cynthia, or my wonderful engineer partner here, mentioned that this evening there's going to be a Pantorium session that is a live concert you can come and be part of, and there will be food. There will be people here. There will be chili. There will be pies. It'll be good. And you can also listen on the radio. That happens at 7 p.m. this evening. This evening. Yes, it does. Think of becoming a member. Do become a member. If we are in your ears right now, put us in your heart. This is KHOI. That stands for Heart of Iowa. Put your hand on your heart. Put your other hand in your pocket and pull it out. And give some of that money in both pockets to a really fine organization. Be part of this organization. Come down and help us out. We can always use help. You don't necessarily have to be on the radio if you're shy, you know. You can come down and do other things. We would love to meet you. That's 410 Douglas, downtown Ames. Go to khoifm.org to donate and become a basic member, or call 515-292-2877. 8. You've been listening to the Donalana Kitchen. We've had music today by a group called English Echoes. Liz Donaldson, Becky Ross, Colleen Reed. They're playing English country dance music. We'll go out with a tune called Collier's Daughter. Oh, yes. So, listen to radio. Listen to your neighbors. Enjoy each other. Do that. My name is Lana Noctigal, and we've had fine engineering by Cynthia McClure. Thanks to Aaron Johnson for sharing his mushroom expertise earlier. Eat good food and enjoy life.